on the 18th of September 1916, a unit of the 1st Battalion, the King's Shropshire Light Infantry, formed part of a large attack on the Quadrilateral, a heavily defended trench system northwest of Morval on the Somme. For one Private James Blower, MM, of Shrewsbury, it would be his final action. Welcome to Series 3, Episode 4. My name is John Pope. I'm a volunteer speaker with the Commonwealth War Graves Commission and a story moderator on the Forevermore series, which details the lives of people who died for their countries. I have an interest in the stories of the ordinary men and women who served in extraordinary times. So who was James Blower? And where did he come from? What did he do before the war? And how did he come to win the military medal? I was approached with this story by a listener to this podcast, Russell Blower of Telford, who is also Private Blower's great-nephew. James Henry Blower was born almost 130 years ago, on the 15th of February 1894 in Shrewsbury. His mother and father, Lucy and John Blower, lived in St Mary's Parish at Farm Cottages. John worked as a rail carter on the Great Western Railways, and James was the eldest boy of five children. By 1914, when war started, James had just turned 20. He joined up in September 1914 as part of the 7th Service Battalion of the King's Shropshire Light Infantry. This was part of Kitchener's new army, and the 7th was sent to Codford near Salisbury Plain for training. James spent almost 8 months training and moving to various billets in Bournemouth and Romsey, and then to Aldershot for the final spell of training. He had time to return home in January 1915 to marry Sarah Nichols. They lived at a small cottage in the Cotton Hill area of Shrewsbury, number 4 Hammond's Terrace. That area of Shrewsbury is thankfully well preserved, and you can see a photo of Hammond's Terrace on the Those Who Served website. James and Sarah wasted no time in starting a family, and Sarah became pregnant almost immediately. Unfortunately, young James was born in October 1915, just a few weeks after his father and his battalion had sailed to Boulogne as part of the 76th Brigade of the 25th Division. Unfortunately, Private Blower's army service records did not survive the Blitz, but at some time between October and April the following year, James Blower was attached to the 1st Battalion, the King's Shropshire Light Infantry, as part of the 16th Brigade, the 6th Division, alongside the 1st East Kents, the Buffs, the 1st Leicesters, the 2nd Yorks and Lancs, the 1st 5th Loyal North Lancs, the 8th Bedfordshires, and the 16th Machine Gun Company and Trench Mortar Battery. The 1st Shropshires remained part of this brigade and division throughout the war. Sadly, in April 1916, young James Blower died, aged just 5 months. It's not known what caused his death, but as we've heard in earlier episodes, infant mortality in Britain in the early 20th century was 25 to 30 times higher than rates seen today. Before the advent of vaccines and antibiotics, infant death certificates often cited cause of death as tuberculosis, pneumonia, bronchitis, polio, diphtheria, tetanus, whooping cough, measles, mumps, rubella, and the somewhat vague failed to thrive. It's not known if James Sr. was granted leave to visit his wife Sarah or not. In late April 1916, James and the 1st Shropshires were in the line near Bosinger, just north of Ypres. He took part in a dangerous nighttime trench raid to recapture a trench near Mortelja Estaminet, the ruins of a derelict cafe between Canadian Farm and No Man's Cot. The approximate site of the raid can be seen on a map on the Those Who Served website, together with photographs of the ruined building, then and now. The weather that night was characteristically wet and muddy, and the raiding party had to inch forward through the mud on their stomachs to get under the wire, and close enough to launch their attack. The raid was successful, but at some cost. The following day, the 1st Shropshires were relieved by their sister battalion, the 2nd Yorks and Lancs. The raiding party were commended by General Plumer, and the men who took part, including James, were mentioned in dispatches and awarded medals for their action. James received a military medal, a new award for bravery, first instituted in March 1916, and conferred on NCOs and enlisted men. For that single raid, 14 military medals were awarded, alongside one Distinguished Conduct Medal, 3 military crosses, and 2 Distinguished Service Orders. Oddly, James's military medal is not listed on his medal record. Shortly after the trench raid, the 1st Shropshires were moved south, away from the salient and into reserve behind the Somme. As part of 14th Corps, under Lieutenant General Gavan, Private James Blower was held in reserve until September, and took part in the Battle of Fleurs-Corcelette from the 15th to the 22nd of September 1916. The battle was notable as one of the first deployments of the tank, as this account from the 9th Norfolks, who form part of the neighbouring brigade to James's unit, describes. Owing to the extreme difficulty of observation on the enemy's lines, the dull weather which made it impossible to get air photos, and the short time for reconnaissance and selection of OPs, the enemy's trenches were inadequately shelled on the 14th. It was, however, impossible to defer the attack, which was to take place on a wide front and to be executed by several corps. The 71st Infantry Brigade and the 16th Infantry Brigade were ordered to attack, the 18th Brigade being in reserve. 3 of the new tanks were detailed to move along the railway to the quadrilateral and cut the enemy's wire if such existed. Unfortunately, 2 of the tanks broke down. The 3rd advanced but was riddled by armour-piercing bullets and failed to reach the enemy's wire. Owing to the difficulty of observation, the artillery barrage were not accurate. As a consequence, the attack of the 6th Division on the quadrilateral and the trench running north was stopped by strong uncut wire and heavy machine gun, rifle and artillery fire. The attack of the divisions on the left was successful in reaching their first objective. As it was urgent to drive the enemy from his positions in front of the 6th Division, the 16th Infantry Brigade was ordered to rush both flanks of the position from north and south at 7:30 p.m. that night. This attack also failed, the troops losing direction, though some trenches on the north were cleared of the enemy. After 3 days' hard fighting, James's platoon as part of the 16th Brigade were ordered back to attack northeast towards the quadrilateral again. A war diary account records, "The tanks advanced before 0 hour, but this one failed to start. The rest lost direction and went east into the 6th Division, and then returned. 2 tanks on the left began late, got lost, and then veered to the right. One was ditched, the other ran short of fuel, and then returned. The creeping barrage began promptly at 6:20, and the battalion followed 30 yards behind. But as those on the right went northeast over the crest, German machine gun fire began from the quadrilateral and straight trench. The 4 battalions, mingled together, pressed on into the north end of the triangle and serpentine trench to the left, where the wire had been well cut and the trenches devastated. Despite many casualties, the brigade overpowered the defenders and occupied part of the first objective by 7:15 a.m. Sadly, Private James Blower, M.M., was one of those casualties. While some of his platoon were later buried in the guard cemetery near Leboeuf, Private Blower's body was never recovered. He is commemorated on face 12A and D of the Tietval Memorial to the Missing of the Somme. But what of James's wife, Sarah? As a war widow, she received a gratuity of £8, 4 shillings and 7 pence in March 1917, and a further £12 in August 1919. But as the family recall, she was left destitute, a situation many recently bereaved widows found themselves in despite some financial assistance from the state. The topic of war widows and gratuities is something we've visited before in earlier podcast episodes. I received an account from one listener in relation to his grandfather returning to Britain following a wound he'd received on the Western Front. He wrote, "As we approached Folkestone, I saw the quay was lined with families waving and singing. It was a sight to gladden the eye. As we got closer, I saw they were mostly women, some carrying babies or with youngsters in tow. I assumed they were wives coming to meet their menfolk. As we disembarked, I soon realised that these were widows, and they were looking for unattached soldiers. Most were pleading for help, and calling to the soldiers to aid their poor young ones, and give them the route to a better family life." Fortunately for the widowed Sarah Blower, who had lost both a baby son and her husband James, his younger brother Stephen stepped forward, and although 9 years her junior and barely 16, he and Sarah later married, and they had a son, William. And what of James's military medal, one of the first few to be awarded to a private soldier for bravery in action? The Blower family turned it into a brooch, and it was later given to his young great-nephew, and is still a treasured family possession. I'd like to thank Russell Blower, a listener to Those Who Served, who contacted me with some of the details of James Blower and his service. I'd also like to thank the Long Long Trail, the National Archives, the Great War Forum, World War I Cemeteries, and various website resources for some of the links and photographs on the episode extras page of the website. Until next time, thank you for listening to Those Who Served with me, John Pope. You can listen to the show via the website, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or a host of other platforms. If you listen on Apple, please leave a review, as it makes the show easier for other Apple users to find. You can follow the show on social media via Twitter, at Those Who Served, or on Instagram, those.whoserved. You can show your support for this free podcast by clicking on buymeacoffee.com on the Those Who Served website. All funds are used to cover the costs of research, production, and syndication. Lastly, you can join in with the show by sharing what details you know of a family member or friend who served in a 20th century conflict. Contact me directly by email at info@thosewhoserved.co.uk. Thank you.